Let's get into nitty-gritty influencer marketing, you know, and especially for guys, you know.
Ooh, I got to sit up for you, Alex.
At what point should a guy be like, all right, I need to work with an influencer marketing manager?
I would say, ooh, child, I can't cry.
Yeah, don't do it.
It's too soon, Alex.
And what red flags do you say to look for in other agencies?
Ooh. Wow. That's really good.
Hello and welcome. Hustle Over Everything podcast is the podcast where you receive stories, tips, and tactics from entrepreneurs who have done it. I'm Alex, and today we are talking influencer marketing for men specifically. We have Lily and Beverly in the building.
Hey.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Most definitely. I'm great. I'm happy to have you guys on. You know, I've seen you guys kill it on social media for the last little bit, you know, and I'm excited to get your story. So for one, there's a constant question that comes throughout our podcast. That is, what is your brotopsy? You know what that means?
Of course. But elaborate. What are you looking for?
So the brotopsy means how you were raised, you know? So I'd love to get you guys each individual story. How you guys were raised.
You go first.
Okay. Sticks and stones
may break your bones.
So strict African household, of two siblings. Everything was really about academics, very traditional. And that's what I would say mainly about that. I grew up here, born and raised here, lived in Calgary.
Lived in Calgary,
moved to Sudbury.
From Calgary to Sudbury.
Yeah, I followed my parents.
Wow. Well, where in Africa are your parents from?
Nigeria.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gosh. So you're the only person eating fufu in Calgary.
I think I was the only person eating fufu for sure. Like, what are you, like, you look different. Oh, yeah. I am. So Sudbury, Hamilton, Brampton. Yeah. So became very multicultural. Omni one.
Okay. No, most definitely. So
I watched it in high school.
You guys went to high school together?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So did you have a culture shock moment going from Calgary to Sudbury?
No, it looked similar. It looked similar. And when you're young.
Yeah, kind
of. The culture sometimes is like within your home.
Yeah.
You know, it's still the same. The African culture follows you. Yeah. What culture shock? You're still
What's
African.
It's like being black in Calgary. Growing up.
Very much so a minority. Like that minority label stuck, right? Because there wasn't a lot of people that looked like you. For a lot of many, many years, up until even when we moved to Hamilton, I still was the only black person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone has that story where there's like two black people. A black parent shows up. Is that your dad? No. So incredible. Yeah. How about you?
Me, I grew up in a little bit of a mixed in neighborhood. So I grew up in Malvern for a good chunk. And I grew up in Oshawa a good chunk.
Oh wow.
So I got a very diverse brotopsy, you know, because in Malvern it was low income. But it felt like a melting pot of lower income immigrants, you know? So Jamaicans had the biggest brain bleed during the time. Sri Lanka had a huge war. So everybody was immigrating from that war. And that was like the biggest populations in Malvern at the time. So the people that were there were kind of like this in survival mode, it felt like, you know? So that was that. But then going from Malvern to Oshawa, it was completely different because I ended up going to private school out there. So it was great going from like one drastic area to a completely different one.
Yeah, the demographics would be different.
So, and that was a blessing because it was a boarding school. So it was like people that were wealthy, people that were, had, it was a different income brackets that were there. So I was blessed to have that. So.
Was it just all males?
No, it was male and female.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So
from what age?
From actually, so it's an interesting question because there's a connector school. So you could go from like grade 1 to 8 and then 8 to 12 or 9 to 12. But I was there from grade 9 to 10. Then I went back to public school. Then graduated there. So I have like the best of both worlds. So from like hood aspects to like posh aspects.
Street style and posh.
So you have friends from like
all walks
of
life.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So I get to travel. When I travel, I kind of like got a lot to pull from, you know? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, very cool. Mm-hmm.
This podcast is brought to you by Narai Cellars Wine, one of the only Black-owned wine companies in Canada. So not only are you supporting the show, but you're supporting Black ownership. Now, who is Narai Cellars Wine? They have 10 years of experience in winemaking. So what we're going to do is going to hit the link below and visit naraicellars.ca and try the wine for yourself. Let's get back into the show. How about you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what's your bottom seat?
Who am I?
Who are you?
I guess, first and foremost, I wasn't born here. Not that it's a bad thing. No. I was born in South Sudan. Mm-hmm. So I immigrated here when I was about 10. Mm. Grew up in a refugee camp, actually, for 4 years of my life when I was younger. Lost my mom when I was 5. Wow. It was an interesting upbringing. I think I feel like I had to grow up really quickly. So not only do you lose your parent at that age, but then now you have to learn how to survive with your siblings in a refugee camp without, you know, your parents, and then moving to a new country and then now adapting to this new culture shock where you haven't seen anybody that, you know, now you're seeing people that you didn't even know existed and don't look like you. So, so we moved to Scarborough. Grew up in Scarborough.
Okay, so Scarborough. All right. Where's Scarborough?
Canadian Eglinton.
Canadian Eglinton. Okay, all right. Okay.
I loved it, but it was definitely difficult to kind of adapt to the culture shock, mm-hmm. right? It was now everybody. You know, and I didn't speak English. So it was just a lot of learning curves, I would say, for me growing up, you know, adapting to the new culture, adapting to a new language, adapting to new traditions. And
Wow.
That was kind of my upbringing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
What was the relationship you had with your older sister during this time?
It was wonderful. I would say, ooh, child, I can't cry.
Yeah, don't do it.
It's too soon, Alex. actually, my sister is kind of the reason why we're here. She sacrificed her entire life to make sure that we weren't separated when my mom passed away. So she sort of took on that role as our caregiver, moved us here with my uncle as well. And yeah, she's really the reason why I'm alive.
Wow.
Yeah. I love her more than words can even express, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now, how does that impact you guys as parents? You know, I want to get you first, and then we get into the influencer marketing as we get to know you.
Wow. I think for myself, I feel so privileged. Mm. I feel so honored to be able to provide my son Felix with what I never thought I was able to even accomplish or achieve in life, again, because I've always been in a survival mode, right? I had to work hard to stay alive. I had to work hard to come here. I had to work. So all of that is, to me, is an honor and a privilege so that he can have a life that he's supposed to have. So that's how I kind of see it for myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Not for real, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And how about you?
I think I have a lot of respect for the discipline we were raised with because I understood it retroactively. And how does it impact? I'm literally repeating history. I'm that parent, you know, all those values that I thought were super messy back then. It's like, yeah, they're important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm,
she's an amazing mom. I feel like she raises me.
Yeah, I raise her. It's my offspring.
It's true.
It's my dependent. I feel like I should claim her on my taxes.
She manages my life. And
I really do. It's funny. We always joke about this because I manage her personal life. So I'm like, have you done this? Have you done this? And I'll like drag her. And for like work, she drags me. Have you responded to this email, Lily? It just came in a minute ago. That's okay. I've responded. So I micromanage her personal life. She micromanages Sarah and Lex. So
what was like the most personal thing that you managed that made you feel like, whoa, why am I telling you this?
What's the most personal thing I managed?
Yeah, for her.
Like for her? Mm. Let me think.
Did you do your laundry?
You have no idea. Like I will call her and remind her, and she's good, but I'll still, hey, just an FYI, tomorrow's a PA day.
It's so true.
There's no school tomorrow, and I'll call in the morning. There's no school.
Actually, she did that today. Yeah. Next Friday is a PA day. I was like, marked. Like small, like.
Got you.
It's odd.
So what was the first creator you really loved and took you away from the current situation you were going through?
The first creator?
Yeah.
You weren't really into creators though when you started. You
no.
Should... Yeah. Actually. She wasn't inspired by creators when she started.
I was inspired by being a mom. So I could, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
I was, at the time I was a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to connect with other moms. And I was sharing kind of my journey about being this new mom. I was also young. So I'm like, ooh, like he's so cute. We look so cute together.
Let's post this selfie.
Let's put these selfies up. But that's, yeah, that I kind of fell into content creating. It wasn't even something that I ever imagined that I would do. I actually thought I'd be either in New York City being a supermodel mm-hmm. or a photographer.
Mm-hmm. You still can.
For sure.
Position open. In case you want
His
to
nails
switch.
Are really nice. Okay. I don't think he wants to.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what was the first brand that you guys got? And actually before that, we should get into Deal or No Deal, shall we?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You had a good one. I'm excited for this one.
Ooh.
So
why am I nervous?
You're always nervous.
I'm always nervous because I need to
She's
know
Libra,
what's going on.
So
you guys fully know what the Deal or No Deal is.
Oh, like, wow, Libra.
You guys are good actors.
Oh, are you a Libra?
All right,
I'm a Cancer. Right. Can y'all tell?
Yes. You know what? My girl's a Cancer, and now I'm like understanding.
We're so fun.
The difference.
We're great people.
All right. So here's the question. I'd love to get you guys feedback from a creator. Hi, Alex. Love the show. I got an offer from a big tech company, and they're offering free products, Google Pixel, home subscriptions, Chromebooks, for a year, and they would be featured on their page. Sorry, and they feature me on their page. And marketing material for a year. Now, here's my socials. I have 10,000 plus followers. I have an engagement rate of about 5%. On TikTok, I have 250K followers. Hmm. And the value of all these products is about $6,000.
Hmm.
This would, I guess, help them raise their stature, I guess. But at the same time, ain't no paper.
Ain't no paper. You saw I rolled up my sleeves real quick.
Deal or no deal?
Should we whisper? Yeah, I think we should whisper.
Just give us a couple seconds.
Okay. Place. Let's think about this.
Yeah.
Should we call somebody? I think we should call somebody. Who should we call? I'll come on. Okay, cool. So, Alex, we think this is not a deal. You need to push back. Mm-hmm. Only because now our reasoning to that is your engagement rate is insane. You have an incredible amount of followers that are on your socials, 10K on Instagram and 215 or something like that on
250
TikTok.
On TikTok. Engagement rate on Instagram is 5%. Is that the person
and
said.
You're telling me that you want to give me 6K for just products and you also want to use my face and my content on your social. You're good. That's double dipping and you don't want to give me you should be giving me money.
Yep.
So no deal.
No deal.
How much money would you request?
Oh.
That situation?
That's a very good question. With that situation, I mean, for somebody that has that amount of following on TikTok, I would probably try and get the Google to do something on their TikTok, because I'm sure with an engagement rate of 5% on Instagram, I can only imagine what their engagement rate is on TikTok. So they could probably get, people are getting 20K for just a post on TikTok. So Yeah, no, they have a huge reach.
20K.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's happening.
He or she could ask for 20K.
Damn.
Yeah. And okay. Here's the thing. If you're
Less
engaged.
Less products.
Exactly. Or if this was a brand that they really, really love and they obviously want to build a relationship, they could negotiate, obviously, working with them and but not also promise or over promise that, hey, okay, I'm going to create this. And I'm going to create this for you to use on your social. But maybe you'd be like, you know what? Let me feel out the product and see how much I like it. Maybe I'll share it on my stories. You have access to my audience still, right? That way. And build that relationship, especially if you don't have big friends.
Because sometimes it births other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't always come into your exact figures or your desire for figures. Mm-hmm. You've taken on stuff before where it's like, ooh, you've taken on free stuff, right? But it's turned into long-term relationships later that were super lucrative.
Exactly.
Right? So
yeah,
a bit of gambling sometimes.
So either or, it can go really either or.
All right, so I have one last deal or no deal for you. Ready?
Uh-oh.
So you reach out to a brand. Mm-hmm. This one's a little bit more hypothetical. This was not someone that wrote in. And they want to collab with you. You have a call. And they're like, yes, we'd love to collab with you. And you have your own thing coming up. Yeah, we'd love to exchange promotion as well. We have our own things coming up. You get to the email section, and all of a sudden they say, instead of you being an influencer, we'd actually like to maintain an exchange of promotion where you promote on ours, and I promote on yours. Deal or no deal?
What do you think?
It depends on how much you value, I guess, their product as well, right? It's not black and white because depending on the brand, it might be a deal for you if it's something you value, but if it's not, then it wouldn't be worth it to you.
And also to add to what Beth said, is that an audience that you're looking to reach? Is that somebody that, you know, if you want to bring that audience onto your platform, then yeah, that it could be a good way to exchange audiences.
So could be a deal, actually.
It could be a deal.
But the first one is absolutely no deal.
Absolutely not. They're asking for you to just no. Sometimes you also have to understand your worth, you know? It's so important to understand your worth. Sometimes brands like to push it and see what they can get more of by giving you less. And that's like 5% engagement rate. Not many creators have that, even with a high following count on Instagram. That's impressive. So
you just had to understand your worth. What are some of the line items of worth? Because everyone says understand your worth, but let's go a little deeper than that. Yeah,
you
what?
Love this.
My worth.
My worth.
Yeah.
Your work ethic. Consistency. We've seen creators that have quite a high following. How you got the following sometimes is different as to why you're maintaining it. Sometimes you're not even active followers. Maybe there are people that forgot to unfollow. But like consistency, like how much work you're putting into your craft.
Yeah. And understanding the worth of that craft. Yeah.
Right. So if you're a male, for example, that wants to specialize like in skincare, what are you putting out, like with your get ready with me, your routines? Are you talking about products? Are you do you know what I mean? Is it consistent or is it 1 week I felt really, really good? You know what I mean? And then like you didn't hear from me for 2 months and I'm like, I know my worth. You know what I mean? So it really depends. Like that's why we don't really go by numbers.
No, I think we go by personalities and people, because sometimes your audience actually will tell us if you're worth it for us.
Yeah.
Right? Because your audience and your community is, they speak for you. We have creators that their audiences speak for him. He doesn't have to say nothing. They back him up with everything he does.
Yeah.
that's why brands are consistent with giving him work. Yeah, yeah, because people believe in his craft. Yep. So you have to understand your worth when it comes to that, because no matter what you put out, I always say, we can smell fake. Like, you can really smell fake, especially as a creator. Like, are you really passionate about it, or are you actually just doing it because you want to get paid? That's all a part of.
And then even the brands you work with, and even repetitiveness of it, like, if the brands really like you, they'll come back. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They'll want to work with you. If they don't have budget, they'll want to give you stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's still like a continuous relationship. Like, all those things go into worth, right? Not just positive self-projection.
I think there's a lot of that in influencer marketing, and it's in the influencer industry. You got to know your worth. You got to stand on it. You know, charge your price plus tax, you know, which.
Yes, know your prices or not today. Yeah.
Know your worth is, like you said, quality too, right? Mm. It's not one way. It's not what you think you're worth. It's also what you're showcasing that's worthy of a brand wanting to give you more for it too.
And growth.
And growth.
Growth, mm-hmm. investment. You know, we have a creator who's growing pretty well.
Oh my gosh.
And he doesn't play with his for example, his photography.
Never.
Like, even on stuff that's gifted, it's like when he posts, it's gonna be a whole production.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And his followers see it, the brand is happy, he's happy because he loves, you know, mm-hmm. certain brands, and he'll push, right, for them to be seen. So yeah, if that answers that.
So it's interesting, because now with TikTok and the way Instagram and the whole influencer marketing industry is going is super authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. So that photographer now is not even the photographer. I won't even say him. I say a lot of creators are being pushed to be super authentic. Show your place messy. Show all types of authentic vibes. Does that not take away from worth, because you're now just throwing the camera up and taking selfie content?
Does it take away from work?
Yeah, because before it used to be, you need to have the camera with 3-point lighting to make sure the back is lit and the front's lit and XYZ and XYZ. But mm-hmm. now it's opting for super authentic, right? And I actually have an answer for this as a marketer, but I'm curious to get your opinion too.
I don't think so, because so have you followed any of her coffee art?
Mm-hmm, a little bit. I did my little research.
Do you think it's good?
Yes.
Are you?
I'm ready to end this. Authentic. Are we being authentic right now with each other?
Do you know why I think it's authentic? Because this is your own expression.
Are we being authentic with each other?
I think she's wondering if you think my coffee art is actually.
You think it's, you think it's bad?
Oh, it's awful.
Come on.
I'm still trying.
Let me take another look.
Can we pause?
Yeah.
Let me take another look.
You're frozen. Why?
That's the coffee art?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm wrong. Yeah. I thought something else on your page.
Yeah.
I'm completely wrong.
So sorry, this is not it. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the coffee art before we... Or you just want to move on? I'm so sorry.
I would feel comfortable. Yo,
what is this?
Oh, Alex! You said my coffee art was... like, good, right?
I thought I saw art on your page.
That is so...
That's okay.
I am wrong. You know what I thought it was? Hold up. Let me see if I can find what I thought.
You're probably thinking about my commercial work.
I thought I saw art in your house.
Oh.
That was a coffee art.
Like, as that in you're like, a professional, how you bounce back from that.
Pardon me?
You're a professional. I like that.
How you see how he's...
It's a professional.
He's a
professional.
What you mean?
So... So now I can answer. Now, okay. Because I was not going to move on from you saying that it was fantastic. Because
it was not. Like, it was not.
Wow.
We're going to have to do a part two tomorrow.
Right? Yes. So, I'm wrong. I'm sorry.
Brand that she works with, like, that is, like, she posts that stuff daily. She loves that brand of coffee.
I love that brand of coffee.
And that's her coffee art that she puts. It's actually not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That is being authentic.
We don't have to go into it.
Okay. You know what I mean? So, but that is not a joke, but it's not clean.
Oh, dear.
You want to compare it to a messy place.
So, Alex, it's...
But there's tons of engagement. Like, it's real. And, like, we all enjoy it. I love it. She loves doing it. People love watching it. And it's authentic. That's authentic. Like, it's fun. Like, I've ordered her stencils. People have sent her. We all send her memes of, like, funny coffee art.
Even that coffee team sends me memes asking. They're like, here you go. Maybe this might help with the next one. And so, we just laugh about it in the DMs. And
it, like, literally is fun. It's wonderful. Like, not everything has to be perfect, but it's real and it's relatable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's memorable. So,
but going back to that question again, if you don't mind repeating it, I wanted to add to
the authenticity.
Authenticity. So it is the question was focused on the lowering of authenticity to be authentic on, not even authenticity, the lowering of quality of post on social media, Instagram, TikTok, to be more authentic in your presence to the audience, lowering your validity to brands and to people that could pay you, because your quality of content is going down for authenticity to go up. But in order to talk to the brand, it might be like a bad first impression.
Is that a lowering of quality, though?
I feel like there's a fine balance. Like, because you can still be authentic and share your daily vlogs or who you really are, and also, and still be able to tap into a brand and providing them with quality. I think a lot of the times, I think the best people that actually do it is they're able to tap into just being themselves. And also providing good quality when it comes to their work. Because a lot of people don't really look at social media, Instagram or TikTok as a job. Especially a lot of maybe creators that have just come into the game during the pandemic. Because obviously there was nothing to do. Everybody was on TikTok. Everyone was growing. So it's like, oh, this is really fun. Let me just get on and But the ones that have been around or are around, they have tapped into the kind of the secret recipe, and that's having quality of content, but also being authentic to who you are and using your phone for those, you know, restaurant get-togethers with your friends and taking a photo of your food and, you know, those silly selfies, building that into your portfolio and your grid, and it still looks like you can relate to the everyday person, but then also give a brand what they want when it comes to quality of content. So it's a really fine balance.
Yeah, and it kind of shows versatility.
Exactly.
Got you. Now, let's get into nitty-gritty influencer marketing, you know, and especially for guys, you know.
Ooh, I got to sit up for you, Alex.
At what point should a guy be like, all right, I need to work with an influencer marketing manager?
You want to take it away?
At what point?
So, because you said your following doesn't really matter. So if I have 700 followers, but the engagement rate's high, I can be like, yo, I need a manager to manage this. Or you're like, come on, son. Get it together. Get it up.
It also depends on what you're looking for and what you've achieved on your own. There are people that work independently and they do really well. They were able to acquire relationships with brands and long-term relationships with them that are not managed. We know a few people, men and women. But if we even look at it from the perspective of what we look for, someone that's already established a bit of brand relationships on their own that want to grow and reach more brands, I would say.
Someone that also understands the lingo. Like, I mean, my background is obviously I did content creating for many, many years. And prior to even signing with an agency, I wanted to understand the game. I feel like it's so important to kind of execute your profession before you outsource. And I feel like even with content creating, I wanted to learn and perfect how to read a contract, how to understand a brief, how to, you know, what are these little lingos before I gave away that percentage to an agency. And at the time, I remember having the conversation with Bev and I'm like, God, they're about to take that percentage from me. But at the same time, it made sense during that time in my life. So,
and on top of it, some people don't know how to negotiate either
their rates.
So that's what an agency is also there for. Constant pitching you, because it's a lot of work to pitch.
Putting you in the right rooms, helping you kind of navigate what your niche is, getting you with the right people. It's, I think a lot of the times it's honestly bigger than the amount that maybe a lot of people think that, oh, this agency is going to take from me. And to be honest with us, we don't even consider taking on people until they know who they are. We don't just take on, and a lot of agencies just love to take on creators and build out a roster. And for us, we're like,
We still want to be super niche.
Very niche.
Right?
So.
It smells a hint of shade in that.
We don't do that. It's not shading. Who said that?
I don't know.
Can an influencer work with multiple clients, like multiple agents?
They shouldn't. It depends. You know what? It depends. So if you have an agency that's for just like your social media, things that just live on your social media, that's a bit different. But then you, let's say you model on the side too.
Or you're an athlete.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's kind of out of scope right now for us. Then yeah, you would. Right. But if it's for what we're doing, it's overlapping. You really shouldn't, because it becomes complicated.
And most agencies, like not many influencer management agencies, do not take on another, like obviously they don't take another roster on, but sometimes they will collaborate. Yeah. So let's say we don't have a creator on our roster that is good for a brand that has come forward to work with us.
Or just doesn't match their what they're
looking for.
Yeah, maybe like our creator that's not really up their alley.
Then we'll reach out to another agency and say, hey,
we have this. If someone else is interested.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys usually, from my understanding, the usual agency workflow is brand comes with big budget. Let's say, I'll tell the story in a second, but brand comes with a big budget, let's say $1 million, and says, hey, we have a big bag. We need creators. We want to bulk buy agency. Take this, go find creators and come back with your projected campaign and expectations and things of that nature. Is that the usual flow of the agency, or is it more so you are going out and pitching, getting a few brands to come in? Is it, all right, I have two brands that needs a smaller budget. Let's say it's 50, 60K, and I have to divvy that up into different creators. What's the usual workflow that you find?
It's both. Both. We have that happening actively right now. It's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's both.
Okay. Yeah.
And then sometimes brands will just want to work with a specific creator.
Yeah, they already have their campaign ready. They already have their budgets for that particular campaign. And it might be a one-off, or they might come back the next queue to work with the same creator. Yeah.
So then when that budget comes down, does it make sense for our creator to ask what the budget is? Because then it kind of doesn't make sense, because you have a huge budget to divvy up between creators. So as a creator, should I be asking, so what's your budget? Or should I be being like, how do we work together here?
It's what your numbers are. What's your rate? And whether or not, right, is that what you're asking? That's what you're asking? Because it's...
Are you asking if the influencer should ask what a brand's budget is for that particular campaign, or asking us as an agency?
Yeah, more so asking you as the agency. Because one of the things you're always told is before, it's always... Who asks for the budget first, right? Who asks for the rate for the budget first? So, and whoever does that loses in the echelon of thinking, you know? So that's kind of the question is, because it would be more challenging to answer that if you're going off the client budget that's high, right?
Because sometimes you don't know the client budget though, right? Like our creators have their rates based off of their worth, right? That's established. And that's what we put forward, right? So sometimes even the available budget is not really what we're worried about. Do you know what I mean? Because like your budget might be too low for what we're asking anyways. Like, so that's not really, I guess the focus, like how much money do you have? This is how much this costs for this. Can you meet it? And and sometimes it's been like, we've had a couple times where it's been exceeded even, right? And of course, sometimes they'll come back lower depending on what budget they have. We don't have the budget for this. And then we'll just negotiate what the creator can maybe take off. Right? So does that answer that?
A little bit. Yeah, I think it answers that. Yeah, it definitely gives clarity a little bit.
Because you said you had a story.
Yeah, I did have a story a bit. So we were working with this tech brand. And they actually sent the wrong email to us. And they sent the email. So actually, we weren't working with the tech brand. We're working with the agency. And the agency got the budget from the brand because we were, the brand suggested us to the agency.
Okay.
So because of around that CC, they forgot to take us off and sent the whole budget to us. So you saw the whole budget and we're like, what?
Start the car.
start the car. Yeah. Love that commercial. So, we noticed that, and that was an eye-opening moment for sure. And then we're like, "So what's the budget here? So let's talk," you know. But then obviously that wasn't what we were supposed to be getting because that's the overall campaign budget, right?
And really, it does depend on a lot of the times. It depends on the type of content as well, right? Because production for influencing content creators, when it comes to like a reel or stories, their budgets, a lot of the times brands have a smaller budget and to work with. But with the agency, they usually provide us with what they've usually worked with. They've come together with the amount of influencers that they want to work with. And they may have acquire an influencer from our agency and may acquire an influencer from another agency and then another agency. And it's like, okay, this is, they keep it in-house for their budget and not necessarily provide it to an agency. And then there are some brands where they actually do acquire an agency and provide them with a budget and say, okay, this is what we want for Q2. Can you outsource these amount of creators for this particular campaign? But a lot of the times it's just the brand having that budget and then just acquiring for you. We want Alex for this campaign. These are the deliverables. Can he meet this budget? And we'll negotiate it and say, yeah, it does. Or like she said, can we take something off? Or
because the PR will know. Right, the budget, right? So let's say the PR for that brand, and then they come to us with whatever campaign, they're not going to give us what the budget is, right? And that's what I mean about like presenting what our creators' rates are, trying to meet their budget.
Got you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you got it. You try to just match it and see, this is what you got. This is what I can give you.
Yeah, exactly.
And also analytics and stats and all of that goes into it too. We always aim for more.
For sure. Speaking of analytics and stats, I think it was one thing that's interesting as a creator is the spikes that you get. So you can drop a photo, drop a picture, drop something, and you get a spike in engagement, a spike in something, something goes viral. How do you quantify that to a brand? Because a brand can see that and say, oh, that's a flash in the pan. I'm not giving you more. Or it could say, you could try to argue that it is more, but then you might not be able to return on that. That could hurt the relationship. Right, because I've had that where some of my content has a spike and they're like, time to pitch. Let's go get this, you know? But at the same time, you know that behind the scenes that this isn't your true number.
Especially nowadays. There's not that many, especially on Instagram, not many people go viral, right? Like when I started, it was so easy. It was like snap of a finger, your image is now got like thousands and thousands of likes. Now it's like you're lucky if you get like 200 likes. But I would say that when it comes to using that as an opportunity to leverage like a brand in your budget, brands can see it. I mean, they're gonna look through all of your work, right? If it's just that one post that had gone just viral, and everything else has been very consistent. They're probably not going to leverage the content that had just gone viral. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at the overall performance of your account as well.
Mm, okay. All right. So.
But it's good though. You better pitch.
Listen.
Or the other thing I would say with that too is kind of see what you did right with that particular content mm-hmm. and repeat it. Right? Mm-hmm. You repeat whatever it is that you did. Like we have a creator that went viral and he kind of figured out the recipe for himself and repeated it. And it just, everything after that just kept going viral.
Yes. And it was viral. Consistent.
He has
the outcome
dipped into his, yeah, his secret.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's you want to know the secret? I
oh, for sure. You got to talk off mic. I want to know what that secret is. For sure.
We'll send him to you.
All right. All right. Dope. Speaking of, all right. One thing I'm curious to get your opinion on is this whole ebook craze, you know? Everybody has a stand store without the stands, and they're selling a digital product on digital products, you know. And I think it's starting to become a stench around digital products, especially courses. People just, I feel like, well, did I touch a nerve?
No. We had talked about it. I'll let you, but yeah, we had talked about this.
Yeah. So yeah. Okay. How does that, you know, affect the relationship with brands and, working with different partners? Because I feel like at times, especially with courses, it can mm-hmm. come off the wrong way, or it could also help the creator. I'd love to get mm-hmm. your guys' opinion.
Oh, you want me to touch on it first?
Sure.
I feel like the best way for you to learn is to study your competition. Study your, and I say that lightly, but really studying your inspirations
even.
and who you're following and who you want to be like. But when it comes to ebooks and when it comes to these online courses, especially when it comes to like people telling you what you need to do to go viral, or yeah. you know, when you need to post to go viral, a lot of it is not, I don't want to say it's not true, but it's not as simple as that, right? And I think you have to look into people that are, I don't want to say people that have been in the game for a long time,
say
but
it.
At the same time, I feel like, especially if you haven't been in the game mm-hmm. for a long time and then you have this ebook out immediately because you've gone viral like this year, you may have some pointers, mm-hmm. but not necessarily.
It's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have sustainability. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think it's good to study what mm-hmm. you want to be good at.
Yeah.
Right? Or what your interest is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we love marketing stuff. So we do take courses. Mm-hmm. But I think when it comes to influencing and content creating, that's such a – it's so broad. And I feel like it just – you either understand it as a person or you just, regardless of what sort of courses you take, you may not even get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like a talent show, really, if you think about it.
No matter how many lessons I take, it's never going to happen.
You're not going to get that Grammy. Like, you know what I mean?
No, that's too far.
Sorry.
Like, no.
No matter how many art lessons, you doesn't get
happen.
To the coffee. The
yeah.
coffee
happen.
Now, you just mentioned influencing and content creating. Is there a difference there, in your opinion?
Depends Ooh. Who you ask.
Yeah, it definitely depends on who you ask. Influencing content creator it's pretty much the same thing. But I find in Canada, I find that when you say you're an influencer, they don't take you seriously. They're like, influencer, great. You probably take selfies all the time. Whereas a content creator, just, I don't know, it just has a cool flow to it, and I find that it sounds a bit more professional in my opinion. I personally like to be called a part-time latte art creator.
Oh god. Oh god.
Most definitely. That's funny. What do you wish more content creators knew when it comes to working with brands and building up their business?
What do we wish more content creators knew when it comes to working with brands? Or if it may be understood, is that like, reading contracts properly, like in its entirety, understanding your brief, understanding the importance of meeting the deliverables.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge, you know? Yeah. So,
and by deliverables, literally your content coming into their inboxes on timely, that
time. You know? Them not sending follow-ups for this, or you were supposed to not use this music, or do you know what I mean? Just reading it, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes people think that all contracts are the same, so they don't read through it, and you'll get yourself in trouble. So, which is part of being professional, right?
And it's a job. Yeah. It's a job, right? Like how you clock in at work. Yep. You got to clock in as a creator, and you have to take it seriously. Some people have it as a, you know, on the part-time side, but these brands are providing you with their money. Mm-hmm. You got to treat it like it's a job. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And yeah.
Why did you guys go into the male niche? What made you guys choose that?
I giggle at everything.
It's all good.
She's the smiley one.
I can tell.
So what am I?
I feel like the type A and type.
You've hit the yeah.
Why does she have to be A first?
No, type A.
Oh, type A. Okay, my apologies.
Yeah, he's right. Like, try not to smile with my eyes so much. Is that softer?
A little bit. I got you.
Okay, so what made us go into male? Well, first of all, we've always wanted to work together. We've worked on a few projects even prior to launching last year. And there just wasn't enough representation for men.
Yeah.
But the need was there. Like, you guys care about the exact same things women do.
Very nice nails.
We just talked about good
Shout out
good
Isaac.
Hands.
Isaac with the nails. You know what I'm saying?
It's the first thing important. I noticed.
First thing she
knows. Honestly, I think I'm gonna get my manicure now, bro.
You know what
I
think
you're feeling upset.
Isaac, let's make a deal.
Let's hear this.
I'll get a manicure if you do one session of therapy.
Oh my god, this one.
Oh,
you're gonna pay for the manicure?
Do you know how much therapy is?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a bit uneven. It's a little bit uneven.
You need many manicures.
Half a therapy.
You are
negotiating is quick. Come on, fam.
You know, very good. We need him on the team.
Exactly.
We need you on the team.
What do you say, bro?
Negotiator.
That's a little bit. That's not an even deal.
What?
Okay. Does it have to be a licensed therapist? Is what I would. You want licensed or unlicensed? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm an unlicensed therapist if you ever want to.
Oh, she's wonderful. She manages my entire life.
Everybody's.
So.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. She's great. I'll give your free session.
Free session, she's $3.99.
You'll give him a free session that I'm like, what?
What?
You're
just
volunteering.
I negotiate.
That could work.
Doesn't mean you have to come to work.
That's, okay.
Right?
So you get the free session at night, then I get the paid manicure.
We'll talk about it.
But like, what's you got for it's night? True though. Like even like something like mental health, skincare, fashion, lifestyle, fitness. Yeah. How is like women like it, men like it?
Absolutely.
Why is it hard to find men?
Mm-hmm. And there's just this assumption that you're, as men, you're supposed to just stand next to your woman and look good for the camera.
Or just look dirty and nobody cares. Like don't wash your face, don't brush your teeth. Like nobody cares, but you care.
For sure.
And also there
he just said he like dipped himself in cocoa butter.
It was shea moisture actually.
Oh, damn. No, not shea moisture, shea butter.
Oh, sorry, shea butter. Yeah. Oops,
but shout out shea moisture though. I have a few shea moisture products.
Absolutely.
Shout out to shea moisture.
Yeah, most definitely.
Like I think with when it comes to with the brands, I think a lot of them also, and not on purpose, but I think when I even went into the game, I found that there was difficulties finding diversity and inclusion and in the game, right? I was probably the very few dark skin content creators when I came in. And now we're everywhere and we're being celebrated and we're just killing it. Mm-hmm. that when it comes to the men, we would walk into these spaces where we're talking about skincare, we're talking about athletic wear, and I could count 2 to 3 males that are creators, but there's so many in Toronto that are so, so talented. And we just sort of want to change that.
Yeah.
And that's really what made us tap into it, to help these brands have access to creators, because we're the only male in content creator agency, I would probably say, in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was a fun challenge too, right? To do something new, you know?
Yeah.
Now, are you finding that it's a low supply of men, or is it that there's just brands that aren't looking for it? Or is this not many guys are going into the content creation?
I would say that brands want you to make their jobs easy.
Got you.
So in order for a brand to be satisfied and make their job easy, we're just going to find what you want and what you need. And a lot of brands actually need males. They just don't want to
go.
They may not have the time, to be completely honest with you, looking and outsourcing. Yeah. That is like a lot. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So now we have it in a silver platter. You need this male. You need this one. You want him to specialize in this. Oh, we don't even have it. We can find it for you. Whether it's in Canada or in the US, we have it.
We got you.
Most of all right.
When a brand's happy, we're happy.
Working towards wrapping up, when it comes to the guys that are pitching for themselves, what suggestions do you have for them? And what red flags do you say to look for in other agencies?
Oh, ooh. Wow. That's really good.
Other agencies? I don't know.
Wow. Red flagged with other agencies.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard because we have good relationships.
And they're all really good.
Yes, they're good at what they're good. Honestly, so this is it. Like, I see you scratching your head and wanting to, like, cancel this whole. So every agency has their niche with what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's like working for any other company, right? Like, there might be something that, okay, this is really awkward.
I know, Alex is shaking his head.
No. I'm listening. I'm deeping the conversation.
Your eyes are getting big and you're
This is the Libra.
So, the reason why I started to like.
She's laughing.
I was pondering on it. I was like, I hear a lot of agency horror stories, you know, so.
But isn't that with have you ever worked for a company before?
Of course.
And when you left, weren't you like, burn in hell? But someone else is interviewing and saying, I love it. This is like, and wearing like their button. And so like, it really depends, right? Based off of what? Like, are you hearing horror stories because you as a content creator also didn't fulfill some of the requirements? So maybe they stopped advancing you work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because maybe you were like making that agency look bad or not representing them properly. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the, you know what I mean?
I can break it down. Like, I can break it down.
Yes,
so we love this. I think the challenge that happens a lot of times is the exclusivity. Say, right, I'm signing to this agency and they now have exclusivity over the deal flow that I get.
Mm-hmm.
So I start getting deals. Let's say I am a male track creator, right?
Okay.
I just do all my runs and that gets a ton of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And now I start getting Nike, Running Room coming to me direct, and I'm moving them to the agency, even though the agency hasn't gone out and pitched Nike and Running Room.
Yes, okay.
And that deal doesn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like,
it doesn't go through.
Wagwan, exactly. The deal flops. You know, let's say the agency could be fighting for the deal for you, but somehow it doesn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
And the creator now is getting multiple deals come through direct, and it's outpacing the direct from the agency.
Mm-hmm.
So now it starts to become a lopsided of leverage, because the person from the creator side is getting more deals.
That's different though. That's very specific, and that you can hop on after.
Yeah, but, of course.
That's not valuable to that person anymore.
Exactly. Like, because I was going to say that
not, do you know what I mean? That's not valuable. Because joining an agency, you're supposed to increase. even with the stuff or the brands that you're already working with, even renegotiating. You know what I mean? Like, still, it should be more. If you bring a brand to me that you're already working with, I should be able to increase what you were asking for. So mm-hmm. you see the value of you even bringing that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if the volume of work is increasing on your end and I'm not able to properly supplement, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's not of value.
And I'll that's be honest, very- I think, like, touching on what she said is, I think there's what I love about us is it's so different. There's a lot of creativity to it. How do we obtain these brands and how do we keep them? How do we kind of push you further as a creator? What can we get you onto? Where can we pivot with this particular brand? If it's Nike, right? What else could we do with Nike? How could we obtain them for multiple years and not just a one-off, right? So if that conversation goes left, what did the agent do?
What happened?
Yeah. What happened? So-
That's right? a very good question.
What it's happened? A very good question. But I think also a lot of the times, I think the fear is all agencies operate the same, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all, you know, hard on just it's our way or the highway. Mm-hmm. No, how can we collaborate together? Mm-hmm. This is your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get paid, we don't get paid,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're not trying to lose a deal. We're going to try and figure out how we can, you know, make sure this deal is mm-hmm. closed and we get something on top of it afterwards.
Yeah. It's hard to say, though, because it's like maybe like any organization, maybe there's something going on within with structure. Like, you know what I mean? That's
mm-hmm.
hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But all but we agencies don't speak aren't badly on other agencies.
No, it's exactly. It's a structure of the agency, too. But red flags to look for. I find with when it comes to agencies, a lot of them have the same sort of percentage or, you know, like mm-hmm. they take their percentage of what comes in and what doesn't mm-hmm. come in. It's better to sign with an agency or maybe do a trial, yeah. right? Do they have a trial? Is it 60 days? Is it 90 days? Is it a year?
For one.
What is it? And see the flow of it. Does it match with you?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't match with you, maybe ask for another agent within the, you know, within the agency. Another
someone
manager.
Else to manage you, yeah.
Yeah,
a different
see if
manager.
They see if that
might
like
be
that
it.
Manager.
Like that yeah. might be it. It might be a. I like the agency, but me and
like
this
manager
don't really see eye to eye. They don't see my vision. They don't see. Do you know what I mean? It
mm-hmm.
could be something as simple as that. Like,
right?
You ever loved a company you worked for, but you didn't like who you reported to? Right. Mm-hmm. It could be.
That
right.
Could change
so,
the game.
It really depends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But.
But yeah, as a male creator, I think really the most important thing is understand, like, know your craft. What is it that you really want to tap into? What are you trying to put out there for your audience? Before you go and visit an agency, be comfortable with, you know, your briefs, how to read a contract. It's so important. Yeah, and see if the percentage really makes sense with what you're making right now. So if you're making 10K and they're going to take whatever percentage mm-hmm. from that, is it really ideal for you to go with an agency? And sometimes it doesn't make sense. So if it doesn't make sense, also don't move with the crowd, right? Just because your friends are with an agency does not mean, okay, maybe this is better because they're getting work right now. I should go with the agency because agencies also have, you know, months that you don't get work. So just be mindful of the reasons as to why you want to sign with an agency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
But a trial is really good.
A trial is very good.
Trial is really good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Ooh. So we're Sir and Lex. That's SirandLex. And that's our male influencer agency. And I'm Lily Youngie, LILYYANGE. Sometimes I forget how to spell my own name.
Because you can't decide if you want to go with Lillian or Lily.
That's
the
my,
issue.
That's my government name. You didn't have to tell them about my government name.
I think they'd
name.
Figure it out.
Oh.
Most definitely.
This is
Beverly. Beverly Fella. So
Beverly No Chill?
Okay. My Instagram, I have no chill whatsoever. I'm working on my chill this year.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, the hustle is what you can't control. So control your grind and control your life. I'm Alex.
I'm Bev.
And Lily.
That's the show, y'all. Peace.